Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. A few days early. Is everybody excited? It's food, fun, football. What's not exciting about it, right? So for centuries, literally centuries, the Christian church here on earth has been centered on the life and events of Jesus Christ. And it's followed the Christian church year, and that's what we follow. And so as Pastor Sean mentioned earlier, next Sunday is actually the first Sunday of the new Christian church year, November 30th. Because that's when Advent and the Christmas season begins. Which means today is the last day of the Christian church year. And it is very fittingly named Christ the King Sunday. Remember, Jesus is the first and the last. And the passage that we are going to look at may be a bit of a surprise, because we are not given a scene of Christ the King on a throne. So let's take a look at this scene as it unfolds here in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. The location of the scene that we are going to look at this morning is set. Jesus and two criminals, which can also, by the way, be translated evildoers, are led to the place that is called the Skull. Now, I have a picture up here for you to take a look at. This is a picture of Golgotha, which is what it's called, Golgotha, the place of the Skull. And they've put a church over the top of this in Jerusalem. And this is the church that is over it. And that rock there that you can see is actually the top of Golgotha. And I had the privilege of being able to see this when we went over to Israel. And the altar is just to the left of that, your left. And you can crawl under that altar and put your hand down through a hole and touch Golgotha. This is the place of the Skull. And there are two reasons it would have been called this. This area, which was outside the walls of Jerusalem at that time, is thought to have been a rock quarry that appeared from a distance to look like a skull. Also, it's also a place where many, many people, thousands of people, were crucified. So there would have been bones and skulls all around. To put it simply, the place of the skull symbolized death. You know, it makes us want to close our eyes and shut off our ears when we consider this place of the skull. But Luke invites us to come closer. You know, all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, cover this event, obviously. And this is how Luke recorded the event. And he simply says, there they crucified him. Crucifixion. It's a method of killing a person by nailing them to a cross. Civilizations had been using this form of torture for centuries, but the Romans had perfected it as the ultimate execution by torture. Romans made it a public spectacle to deter people from committing crime. Crucifixion was meant to inflict the maximum amount of shame and torture upon the victim. Flogging, mocking, being stripped naked. And so Luke tells us here that two guys are crucified with Jesus. Why do we get this information? The first answer is because they were due for crucifixion the same day. But there are no coincidences with God. Remember, God is in charge. He's in control. This is his plan of salvation. Because the second answer is this happened to fulfill prophecy. And I've up on the screen Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. The he here, by the way, is Jesus, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. This is talking about those two other guys that were crucified that same day. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And the scene moves on. Let's go back to Luke. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him that said, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. The scene we see now is Jesus on the cross in the middle of the two criminals. This scene is filled with suffering, verbal mocking, shameful abuse, and excruciating pain. And remember, they want to inflict the most shame. They would not have been clothed. This is our Savior, the King, hanging on this cross naked. And Luke tells us about four different groups of people here in the verses I just read. The first one is we see that people watching. How often have you just stood by watching? The second group, the religious rulers, the Jewish High Council of Israel, mocking Jesus. How often have you judged someone else? The third group, we get the Roman soldiers, who are also mocking, and they're casting lot for the garments that they have just ripped off of Jesus. How often have you made fun of someone? And then we get the fourth person here of these four groups. The first criminal chides Jesus. He hears the others saying these things to Jesus. If you really are the Christ, which means Savior, by the way, Messiah, then come down off that cross. So this criminal joins in on the mocking. Yeah, Jesus, save yourself and us. Get us off these crosses. This is the scene that Jesus is in the middle of, both literally and figuratively, when he says from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's on Jesus' mind in the midst of all this torture, mocking, ridicule, and pain? Forgiveness. Jesus is true man, 100% true man, and felt every single thing that was hurled at him, felt those nails go in, felt the crown of thorns being placed onto his head. He felt it all. But Jesus is also true God, 100%. So he could have gotten off that cross whenever he wanted to and shut those people up. But Jesus' thought is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because you know what? Jesus is not coming down off of that cross. He will die on that cross. Why? Because he did not come to save himself. He came to save you and me, which is what kept him on that cross. And the scene moves on. Verse 40 through 42. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The scene now shifts to the second criminal. And he rebukes the first criminal. And he says that question, "Do you not fear God?" Remember last week we talked about the fear of God. This isn't being scared or terrified of God, but this is to stand in awe and reverence. So I ask you, do you fear God? Hopefully the answer is yes. He stands up for Jesus. He confesses that he knows he has sinned and he deserves the punishment. We too know that we have sinned and deserve nothing but punishment, just like that criminal on the cross. But that's why we repent and confess our sins. And then he also confessed his faith in Jesus. And so the scene moves on. Verse 43, and Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The scene is now focused on the man on the middle cross. Jesus, the Son of God, dying. What we have here on this last Sunday of the church year is a portrait of Judgment Day, the last day when Jesus comes back. And Scripture tells us there will be two groups of people. I talked about this last week. There will be the believers and the unbelievers, the sheep and the goats. And so you got the sheep with the one criminal, and you got the goat with the other criminal, and Jesus in the middle, which is what we will see on the last day when he comes back to get us. Here we see Jesus, the King of Kings, and I love this picture, not wearing a crown, a golden crown that a king would wear. He's wearing a crown of thorns. And the shadow shows the crown that a king wears. We see Jesus, the King of Kings, ruling from the cross, not from a throne, ruling from the cross with grace, bringing salvation to a repentant sinner, this criminal. That's you and I. While he's dying on the cross, here at the heart of the crucifixion, Jesus shows the true heart of his Father, which is love for each and every one of us. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Good Shepherd, laying down his life for us sheep. I just want to be a sheep, right? Bye-bye indeed. And when we leave this earth, when we die, we hear those same words from Jesus. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen.